Planning Commission meeting for December 19th order. At 5:36, we're 1 minute late. Establish a quorum from my left, if you would, please.
Ginny Woodruff.
Okay, Douglas Ward.
Norm McClellan.
John Thomas.
Okay, we have a quorum. Pledge of Allegiance. Kenny Shields, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
My pleasure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Council, do we have any added agenda items?
I'd like to add a discussion on the meeting time and guest notifications, especially during this weather.
Okay, we'll add that on to number 13, Other Matters. And I also have a change I'd like to make, if it's okay with Deborah. Mr. McClung has a meeting, has an appointment at 7 o'clock. So I'd like to move number 10, discussion on a new subdivision, up to number 9, and have you come at him.
Okay.
In case you run a little long, he has some comments he wants to make.
Sure.
I'll make sure he has the opportunity.
Sure.
All right. Do we have any public comment before we get started? No? All right. Approval of the meeting minutes. Everyone had a chance to read last meeting minutes? Any changes, additions, corrections? No?
Nope.
All right, then I'll take a motion to approve the minutes of September 19th.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of September 19th.
I'll second the motion.
All right, we have a vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Approved. Okay. We want to welcome our new commissioner, Ms. Jenny Woodruff.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here with us. Jenny is an ex-mayor of Lapine. She's also an ex-counselor. She's my neighbor. She keeps me, you know. She's out there hammering on me about the roads all the time, and that's good. So we welcome you, and we know you'll be a tremendous asset to our team.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Hassett.
Yes, sir.
We would like to have a real small discussion on where you are with the code enforcement officer.
Okay. That's a good discussion to have. I think I want to go back to this summer, and that was that I had a meeting with our county sheriff, Larry Blanton.
Larry Blanton.
Okay. And I wanted to have that conversation because, of course, we're looking to get in the code enforcement business. And the thought was, well, if we were going to do that, would he have our backside? Because there's no reason to get in code enforcement business if push comes to shove and you need some legal assistance, if the legal assistance isn't there, okay? And so he said yes, absolutely, that he gave me a gentleman that works for him, Captain Nutter, and said that he'd be our liaison. When we get in the code enforcement business, we've got issues. We go directly to him, and that he would help us. And the way that I would see the Deschutes County Sheriff folks helping us would be twofold. One is if we went through whatever process that we're going to go through in code enforcement, and we got to a point where we couldn't go further because we weren't getting reception, and we needed to ticket that person, that a sheriff deputy would take on that action, and or B, we go out to talk to someone about code enforcement, and they stick their pit bull on us or start shooting at us, that we'd have a sheriff deputy there to shoot back. Okay. And he said that in both those instances that's how he saw the role. But he also in the same breath said, you know, the Deschutes County has a code ordinance that it follows. for code compliance purposes. And if you're going to get in the code enforcement business, then it would be in our best interest and your best interest if you would adopt the county code enforcement rules or some variation of that. All right, so I've been working with Jeremy Green, who's our attorney, and we've cobbled together, and it's hot off the press. We just got it yesterday. And it is ordinance establishing procedures for enforcement of ordinances the city will apply. And I'd have you folks read this as time allows. And if you have any comments about it, let us know. But the goal would be, as we get in the code enforcement business, that we have ordinance and fee and operating procedures to rely upon for that endeavor. Okay. Meantime, I've been out trying to procure the services of a handy person, and one of the functions of this handy person would be code enforcement. And I may or may not have that person. I'm hoping I do. I got my fingers crossed. And if that person comes on, then this would be one of their roles. So sort of hurriedly, we would start determining how to employ code enforcement here. B, we would adopt this ordinance. And then C, I think strategically, we would decide amongst the things that we'd go out and do code enforcement on, what would we want to do first? And there's any number of code enforcement things. It can be weeds, it can be junk cars, it can be garbage in people's yards. The list is endless. And I think at some point we're going to have to establish the universe of concerns, keeping in mind people's tolerances, what's acceptable here. I don't think we want to push our luck at the get-go. On the other hand, I think we want to send a very solid message that, you know, we are looking to be respectable and predictable. And one real important reason for that, and I think everybody forgets it, is if I'm an investor and I'm looking to find invest, I want the assurances that my investment is going to be protected. And if I look around and it looks like Woodstock, then I'm not going to have that comfort level to come and invest in your community. So what code enforcement does, it does a lot of things, the health safety issue, but it also is a good economic development tool because it leaves assurances that, you know, there's levels of predictability within your community. And I've managed several different code enforcement departments over the years. So it's just a matter of getting it up and running and figuring out how we're going to make it work here. I think one of the things that's going to be really important, or a couple of things that are important. I think a lot of code enforcement issues, if you really strip them away, are mental health issues. There's a lot of people that have mental health conflicts, and it translates out into code issues. And you really can't do very much about that. You can kind of keep it contained, but you can't necessarily resolve it. Right? The other thing is, I think we want to go out and approach it, and this is my perspective, that our first encounter with you is, can we help you? We're seeing, or somebody's complained, or, you know, there's an issue here, and can we help you out? And I think we'll get further with honey than we will with vinegar. And that's been my experience. So anyway, we're getting close. It's almost soup, and that's where it is. And then there are some notorious things here in this community that people remind me of every day. And so I think we will be looking not only at what areas do we need to look at, whether it's weeds or garbage or spoil piles or whatever. But some of the notorious things. Now, I bought a camcorder, and one of the very first things we're going to do is we've got 31 miles of city streets, and we're going to go out and we're going to camcorder all the properties in this community. And that's not to be Big Brother, but it's establish a baseline. Because one of the things, and I used to really struggle with this for a long, long time, until I came up with the notion of Immaculate Conception. And that is, things would just be there that weren't there the day before, and when I'd ask them about it, they'd tell me, well, it's always been there. And the only way I could reconcile was to finally figure out it was Immaculate Conception. Immaculate Garbage Conception, Immaculate Wrecked Vehicle Conception, any number of Immaculate Conceptions. And so the way you short trip that is you go out with a camcorder that has a date time stamp on it, and you look at everything. And then you have a baseline. And so if a sign shows up that needed to go through a process, or there's a big pile of something, and you confront the owner, and you say, you need to clean this up, and they go, oh, it's been this way for years. And you go back and you look at your video, and it hasn't been that way, then either they're not telling you the truth, or it's Immaculate Conception. So anyway, that's all I have to say on this. I think we're just getting closer, and those sort of some of my philosophies. But I've done this a lot for a lot of years. And if you handle it right, you get good outcomes. You handle it wrong, you put everybody on the warpath. And oh, and a couple more things. One is my philosophy is sort of like Sergeant Schultz, and that is I work off of demand delivery. And that is somebody calls to my attention an issue that needs resolution, and certainly we go out and take a look at it. But I don't necessarily see everything in the community that in my mind is a violation, or all I would do is find violations everywhere. And, I wouldn't last 10 minutes here. The other thing is that I've looked at Deschutes County's code violation thing, and they've set it up so that, you've got to identify who you are, and you've got to agree to go to court if this matter goes to court, and you have to sign it and all this stuff. And to me, those are just huge hurdles that they put out in front to dissuade people from filing code complaints. And so our forms are going to be friendly, and if you want to tell us who you are, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine by me too. I will be the person on behalf of the complaint that becomes a complaint, so that people feel comfortable bringing things to our attention, because if you set that bar too high, they just won't come. And if they won't come, then you won't get a resolution. Any comments?
Jenny, do you have any questions?
Well, I would be wondering, in your discussions with Captain Utter,
mm-hmm.
Is that his name? I think an agreement would need to be in place for their protection and for our protection somewhere along in this. I don't think it should be an ordinance. I think it should be part of a county-to-city agreement.
I'm that working on one.
Okay, that the sheriff can ticket and that there will be backup assistance. On the handyman that you're talking about, in your qualifications for the position of handyman, are you including code enforcement activity prior?
Oh, prior code
prior experience with this, or
no,
because I could walk in and I'm very good with tools. I could apply for the handyman position, but I'm no way qualified to go out and visit people's houses with complaints. So I would be concerned that a handyman code enforcement slash position, I need to see guidelines on that and qualifications for that. My consideration with when you state, and I agree that we need to offer our help when we go out, but I think we have to know what help the code enforcement officer can help by walking up to someone in the yard and saying, how can we help you with this? Well, you can haul it away and pay the bill. So we need to know for all the various instances, and there will be new ones as we go along, what help we can offer to them. We need to have it spelled out for the officer. And the camcorder is an excellent idea, but how many times a year are you going to do it?
You just do it once.
You do it once, but the next day or the next year something appears and nobody complains because the next door neighbor's moved. I think you can't do it just once. I think you need to, because some places will get cleaned up, some places are going to have tenants move in that we didn't know about, who are not organized, and create moving problems. So I think something needs to be established for if we're going to use the camcorder, which potentially could become evidence in a case that went to court. I would say a judge is going to look at a camcorder that's a year out of date and say, on that. That's just, those are some of the things
okay.
that I
sure.
would
I
be
appreciate
concerned
your
about.
Comments. Thank you.
Nora?
Yeah, I've got a question. I'm not too sure how a handyman code officer goes together.
Okay, well, keep this in mind. We can barely afford to hire anybody here. I'm looking for a universal person that can be my backup, my right arm. And in that right arm, they will address code enforcement. They'll help me with public works matters. They will help write letters. They will evaluate reports. They will represent the city at different functions. They will do any of a host of things. And I needed the nomenclature, and I said, okay, I want to attract the widest audience of people that would submit applications. And so that's why I used handy person. But really, this person, more than anything, is assistant to the city manager.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I could see that aspect of
okay.
it. But it's my personal opinion, it's extremely important for this town to clean up a little bit, both for business and for residents.
Well, I agree.
And that should be the major point. I think we can bring more business in and residents in with a cleaner, nicer looking front street. If you look at Main Street number one and it looks nice, they're going to come around and say, oh gee, that looks pretty nice. I'm going to go back and look at that. So it's very important. And the code enforcement is, of course, right there. And everybody's got to admit, we do have a problem. I'm for going slowly. Mostly on written complaints. I've dealt with those before. And, you have to treat the people, as you say, ask people if you could help them, yes. But you just have to be a friend to them when you walk up to them. And you, as you say, the approach you get a little bit more with sugar does work in that instance. Start a talking dialogue first. But we do need to clean it up, and I think that it's a top priority here, both business-wise and residential-wise. And whatever we can do to do that, as I said, I didn't question a handyman. You probably need a handyman here to back you up for sure.
Well, it's whatever.
But if a guy gets into code enforcement here, he's going to be pretty busy.
I agree.
With people being able to bring up complaint. Now I've heard a lot of people in town saying, oh, you can't, why complain? There's nobody to give it to. You don't have the action for it. And I don't want to stick my name out. The city has to become the complainant once it gets its complaint. You're right there. So just keep those in mind. As I said, it's such an important point. I would like to see that put on the front burner.
It's just about there. you have one opportunity to make a first impression. And we have about 9 or 10,000 people a day that drive through our community, a lot of them for the very first time. And I certainly want to focus in on our presentation, Street 97 and Huntington and Burgess, those sort of those three right now. And just make them stand tall.
Yeah.
And you know, if you have a clean community and you have an interesting community, they will stop and they will shop. Mm-hmm. And if they think it's a community that's uncertain, then they'll just keep on going. So I think that this person, when they come on board, will help a lot to massage the looks here and create more orchestration. That's the other thing, is that I want to move slow, but I want to move with certainty to have orchestration here. Because one of the biggest challenges I have this first year I've been here is just orchestration. A lot of people are on different notes, mm-hmm. and trying to say, you know, we all kind of got to get on the same page together. Don't have to be on the same place on the same page together. But generally speaking, you have to be together. It's just been a real challenge. Mm-hmm. We're getting there.
It's going to always be a challenge. You know?
Well, it's always, you know, any place you are, it's a challenge. But especially starting out brand new.
Yeah.
You know, we're just still, mm-hmm. in my estimation, brand spanking new.
That's right.
And the
businesses and the residents have kind of had a hands-off, you know, situation for them. You know, nobody really talked to them. They knew they could do what they want. I mean, a lot of moved here for that reason, unfortunately.
Well, and that's it. And that's why I got to go slow, too. There's
yes.
a lot of people here that said, you know, this is where God quit when he was satisfied. I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to have my 2 acres, my piece of heaven. Mm-hmm. I'm going to not mind anybody else's business. And hopefully nobody will mind mine.
Okay.
Well, that's pretty hard to embrace that sense of community with that mindset.
Right.
John?
Just real quick, Steve. I haven't read this whole draft. I just kind of...
This thing here?
The draft, yeah.
There'll be a test.
I haven't read it all, so apologize if I sound ignorant. So it'll be on a complaint basis as the county works on right now? Is that...
Well, it will be crafted so that our law enforcement people will come in and feel very comfortable that whatever procedures that they rely upon for code enforcement are the ones that they're familiar with. And so how do you give them that comfort level? And that is you adopt something that's similar to what they've been relying upon.
Right, the county right now just enforces code on just a complaint basis only. So is that how the city will be probably to start out?
Well.
And if there's a lot to do.
Sort of two things. One is obviously if something's egregious, mm-hmm. then we're going to go take a look at it right now, okay? But absent that, I think we'll work off of what I call demand delivery, mm-hmm. and frankly, if the word gets out that we have a code enforcement officer and we're actually doing something, mm-hmm. then I suspect that we're not going to have to worry about whether people come down and knock on our door or not.
Okay.
The question is when they knock on our door, are we going to be friendly and accommodating?
Right, which we should be. And then, say that camcorder till the spring, because everything looks lovely right now, so you might want to wait until the snow's gone.
What are you trying to say?
Well, don't camcord right now. Wait till we see some bare ground.
Well, if I do it right now, everything looks wonderful.
That's what I'm saying.
Starting out with a wonderful base.
I didn't know how soon you're going to do it, but you might want to wait till spring.
No, I think we'll wait until you can actually see something on the ground.
Exactly. Good idea. The procedure for multiple... there is a procedure for code enforcement in here somewhere. enforcement procedure. So there is a procedure for you go out the first time and you give them a friendly warning and all that, and then the second time, third time, fourth, you start the penalties and the fees and all, right? I mean, that's...
Right. It's sort of a gradation. You start out friendly and accommodating, and, you know, then you shift as time goes on, and depending upon outcome. I mean, if people are willing to work with the city, then clearly we're going to give them more time for resolution.
Right.
But if we get real strong pushback at the onset, then we probably move a little quicker.
Right. My concern would be that we treat this code enforcement with equality, and so that there's a certain procedure. Say that if I just got hit for the second or third time, that I could look on here and go, the second or third time, this is what happens, and the same thing should happen for Tom Jones over there. He got hit on the second, and not Tom Jones got three friendlies and I got the meanie right off the bat, and you know what I mean? Because I don't like politics in code enforcement or any type of permitting process or anything. I just, there should be strict procedures. This is what happens first time, second time, third time.
And that's why we want to reduce it to writing and get it adopted.
Yeah.
So that there's predictability of outcomes.
Yeah.
And then, as you point out, equity, you know.
Yep.
And from my point of view, everybody here is the same. There's no favorites. There's no disfavorites.
Yep.
You know, you just got to go out there and treat them all the same. And to the extent that you can have consistency of application,
right,
you fare well.
Good.
But you start playing favorites, oh, you get into a mommy-daddy situation that you just don't find yourself out of.
Yeah, not good. And then will the city take over all the code enforcement from the county within the city limits?
Probably, yes.
Okay, and then I'll tell you right now that...
Let me qualify then.
You should probably look up the... I don't know if the county could print out all the current code violations. I myself right now am operating under a code violation on... Pioneer Crossing, a building down there. I fixed up the A unit, the B unit, the D unit, and my buddy John Griley and I are still arm wrestling on the C unit. So what I want to get out in the open right now is that I have a code enforcement on a commercial building it's not a real bad, you know, they're not going to hang or anything, Karen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's something that we're working through. But you might be able to go to the county and get all of the code enforcement addresses that the county has on record as a record for the city to be able to start with. I'm sure the county will do something in that handover, but I think that would be fair for all of us that are under code enforcement right now, that we should all be on record.
And let me qualify what I just said. We will be in the code enforcement business with respect to land use matters. I think the county will continue to address code enforcement as it relates to building code issues, because we won't be in the building code vision.
So basically just the cleanup.
Right.
Okay.
And again, I'm going to, every community I've been in has had its sort of top 10 things that it goes after code enforcement. And also finally, its sort of universe of code enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
That this rises to the occasion, this thing, to be a code enforcement issue. And in some communities, that's just not a problem. And in others, it's at the forefront. Yeah, and again, so that is something we still have to define. That's one of the fun things about this job, is there's no operation manual that goes with a new city. So you kind of have to set the threshold for what you think is code enforcement here. And quite frankly, I don't think anybody knows exactly what that is right now until we start doing it. And I think all of us can think of 10 things that if we saw them, we wouldn't think that was acceptable. But beyond that, you know, I see in the eye of the beholder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll be looking to this group to help frame eye of the beholder.
Mm-hmm. It might be easier to start out with a priority basis because there's so much in this code enforcement realm that we have right now on the line that if we start out and just kind of have a priority list, obviously if three or four of us drive by a particular property and we all just unanimously say that there is probably number one in Lapine as far as code violation, then that may be number one on the list, and number two, and number five, and not worry about getting to number 100 yet, and just work on a few handful of them to begin with. As I said, we just are starting in this.
Well, and the other reason we need to do it that way, too, is we don't have the skill and competency. I mean, for as many code enforcement issues as I've addressed over the years, each place has its own way of doing business. Okay, and so you need to finesse that way of doing business wherever you are, and until we go to do that business, we're not going to know what kind of reception we're going to get. I think, generally speaking, we're going to get a good reception, because I've certainly had an earful from the folks, especially about some notorious things here.
I would certainly use the Planning Commission and the Council both to do, you know, put a note in our packets, and we next week we do drive-bys and say what do you think and all that, and that way it's more than just the code enforcement officer going out there and determining what he thinks is worse, and or the city manager and just a few individuals, but if it's this whole entire city that is saying, wow, you just made top of the list.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Then it would be a lot easier for that person to swallow that news.
Well, it will and it won't. And that is obviously if you're on the top of the list, then you have very little conscious of just how much out of school you are. And when you remind some of these people that are way out of school that they're out of school, they just don't see it that way. I remember my grandma, she had 32 cats and dogs in her house. And, you know, and I tell you, you can't have but three or four. And, you know, they were dropped off at her house and she loved them. And, you know, and who was I? I was just her heathen devilmonger grandson. Okay. But, you know, she didn't see it different.
Okay, one comment I want to make. Number one, when the people here and the residents here were asked to vote on a corporation, one of the main things that they said was that we need to clean up the look of Lapine. Not only the look of the business on Highway 97, basically, but also the residential neighborhoods. Now, it can be done, and it can be done. It's not going to be easy. We've got just in the Cagle subdivision, where I live, we've got people that have five horses on 1 acre of land. Our codes call for no more than two pieces of livestock. We've got piles and piles of flammable trees and material piled in front yards that can burn the whole subdivision down if they ever catch a fire. We've got 15, 16 junk cars piled up in a front yard. Now, fixing those is not going to be easy because nobody's going to want to say, well, I got to get rid of three of my horses. You know, it's not going to be easy, but it can be done. A good example is the trailer park, Gordy's Trailer Park, across the street from Ray's Market on 97. That was a trashy, horrible, dumpy-looking mess, and everybody complained about it. We turned it over to our astute mayor, Mr. Mullen. He went over there and had a conversation with Gordy's. What does it look like now? The trash is all cleaned up. They've got a brand new fence that hides it. It's painted. And the buildings, the office and the apartment buildings are painted. It looks nice. So it can be done. But we all know it's going to take a long time. But the point is, you need to hire somebody, make them aware of what we need to do. As soon as the snow's gone, then that will be as concentrate on, let's clean up some of these messes and start at the top, work down. And very slowly and fairly get all these little problems fixed.
I think we're going to have them talk to Deschutes County too and find out how Deschutes County does their enforcement so that...
Deschutes County hasn't done any code enforcement.
Well, I understand.
I've been here for 16 years.
But they do it someplace. And
they don't do it down here.
They just don't do it down here. But no. They probably can give us some good tips on how to do it. But you're right. I've taken three or four code enforcement issues over to the county myself and said, look into these. And I think they were a little bit surprised that I did. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and they knew about them.
Sure.
They just didn't want to take care of them. And all the more reason that we need to do it. I mean, we really finally can't look, if we're going to be have our own manifest destiny, we can't look to somebody else as a surrogate.
A little bit of money only goes a little way. We all know we don't have a whole lot of money.
And we don't.
So we have to spend it wisely.
Has anything been budgeted for it?
We did. We budgeted 10 hours for this year.
10 hours for what?
10 hours a week. For code enforcement. And then, you know, and I've got another 10 hours for a handy person. So what I was looking to do was have somebody help me 20 hours a week.
20 hours.
And however we can divvy that, you know. And again, we won't get a lot for that, but it's better than nothing.
If someone comes to City Hall, a resident, and says, my neighbor has got a horrible code enforcement problem. I want something done about it. I want to fill out a piece of paper, whatever. Mm-hmm. Does that person's name get told to the person that they're complaining about? Is it the city's name?
It would be my view that it would be, unless they want to say who they are, because that's important to them. I don't take away anybody's privilege to complain and have it on a piece of paper, but it would be my view that we would then become the complaint. Because I don't want people fearful to come over here
and
tell me about a problem. And yes, every once in a while, because of that anonymity, you get mischief. But again, I mean, if you watch television for any length of time in the evening, you're fearful. I mean, it used to be our country was a very safe, comfortable place, but when you watch 24/7 the violence, then it permeates, and so you're afraid of your neighbor. And
very
so
true.
If you're afraid of your neighbor for no other reason than now you feel you need to be, I don't want that to be a deterrent to the city taking whatever action needs to be taken to resolve whatever needs to be attended.
So then you're assuring us that you're on track to get something done.
I am.
Okay. Any further comments?
Yes, please.
Jenny?
Yes. I'm a little concerned with the reference to handyman. Let's find a better word for handyman. That's extremely misleading, and I don't want to get into discussions. It's just a statement.
We've adopted it as a position.
Well, I do think it's extremely misleading, but I'll let it go with that. The other thing is, I have not read through the ordinance, but what I feel about the ordinance and the discussions and questions that have been raised, I would like to see a package before the ordinance is completely approved. I'd like to see a package of policies, procedures, type of qualifications that the person will need before we approve or recommend an ordinance. You rush through an ordinance and it gets on the books and it may not be the best of ordinances once you start putting down the procedures, the qualifications, the ramifications. We're talking blind here.
Okay.
I mean, there's issues coming six ways
true.
From sunny out of here. And
Patty?
If we had a full package, that would be the
okay.
time.
Well, I'd have you read this first and see
yep.
what's missing from it.
Okay.
Okay.
Glad.
You know, and the other thing is, a lot of policies and procedures are just administrative.
Yes, they are, but for something as important to this town as code enforcement, I would like to see that the whole process goes as smooth as possible from the beginning, which is the adoption of the ordinance, policies, procedures. Let's get it out there for public discussion at meetings. It's very, very important.
Okay.
Patty, can you get Jenny all of this that John spent 4 years working on?
Okay.
The whole thing. I mean, John spent 4 years working on this thing, and
can he leave?
I know it's a whole bunch of paper, but that's.
Can you leave the copy with me so I can make copies?
Yes. You should have all this on file.
Oh, we have this.
Well,
yeah, we have
yeah.
all that.
Yeah. Yeah. You should have all that on file.
It's in yeah, it's well, it should be on file with the city because
yeah.
we've adopted it.
Okay, anything further on this?
Nope.
No? Are we all in agreement? Okay, let's go to, we'll skip Deborah for just a second. We'll go to discussion on a new subdivision.
Okay, we did receive, the city did receive, an application from the county. This county is the one that is processing land uses now. And they sent us over what is known, I'm going to call it the Wheeler subdivision. I'm not sure that that's its complete name. Wheeler Park is what's on the preliminary plat. And apparently this is a subdivision that was started some number of years ago, maybe 4 or 5, and they must have just hit the downturn in the economy because they got most of the infrastructure in, and then, as I understand, it fell down. Okay, and so it's languished out there. And I understand now that somebody thinks the economy is improving and they want to reactivate it. But frequently, when you let something fall down, when you go to reactivate it, the rules have changed. And so then you're obligated to whatever the new rules are. And I don't know all the new rules, okay? But I do know subdivisions. I probably have, over the last 32 years, looked at several hundreds, if not thousands of them. And so the county asked me to comment. And one of the things I did, first of all, was go out and take some pictures. Now, we took quite a few pictures, but there's 10 pictures here that do a good job of illustrating some of the issues with the subdivision. For instance, and one that you alluded to in the Cable subdivision is that you have people that have huge piles of
looks just like that.
That look just like
front
that.
Yard.
Okay, well, to me, that's a code enforcement issue.
Sure is that good.
Okay. But in commenting on this land use, and I provided you a copy of the comments that I provided to Cynthia last week. of things that I thought needed attention as part of the subdivision review. And then I qualified also that I don't know that necessarily they have the authorities to implement all the things, but to the extent that they do, that these are issues that need to be taken care of. And one of them is clearly they own the property. If you look at, you've got this subdivision thing here. You've got this bigger, this one here that shows the subdivision, and then all these bigger lots here. A lot of these lots to the south are part of the subdivision. And so I think what they did is when they went to develop the subdivision, they took all the trees and debris and they pushed them onto their property to the south. It's part of the subdivision. So one of the things that I'm suggesting is that all this debris get cleaned up, all right? And then also along with that, there is a, let's see if we can find one. There is one that shows, there is a picture that shows at the very end of Wheeler Road that they put up a little sign here to stop traffic. But it doesn't, and so everybody cuts through and goes around, and there's a bunch of trails back in there, and when you have trails and you have people doing activities that aren't appropriate, one is they just dump. You know, they see a spoil pile like this, they dump their debris, and I'm seeing that some of that is just people coming by and saying, oh, well, I found a nice place to dump. You know, and so one of the recommendations that I made to the county is that they put bollards up, some rock bollards, instead of that little sign there, so as to actually thwart people from going back there. And there's actually two roads that go back there, and so I'm suggesting on this one that they put the rock bollards. And then likewise on the next street over, that there is a big gravel turnabout that they put rock bollards there. And I show in some of these pictures where actually you can see, in this picture here, this is some of the roads that are back there because people can get back there. It's a little thing, but it's a big thing. Another thing is that the roads, and this is an issue that we've talked about in public works, that the standard for road construction is not very good.
No, it's not.
And if you look at the detail here, they've got a detail that says a typical section here, and it talks about a 2-inch asphalt concrete followed by an 8-inch aggregate base. Well, I don't think the 8-inch aggregate base is deep enough, and certainly 2 inches is not sufficient. And the whole road, even though it doesn't have anybody on it, because there's no reason for people to go back there, is cracking up every which way. And then in addition to cracking up, this here, is, I call that spalding. That's called spalding. That just means you didn't put down a sufficient overlay, and your base coat probably isn't sufficient too. So both myself and George Cole, who's the county engineer, have recommended that they go in and that they crack seal, and then they apply a chip seal over that. But also I'm recommending that where you have the spalding action, you don't crack seal, you take and you cut all that out, and you replace it so as to reestablish its integrity. Also, they've got this big turnaround here on the one street that's gravel, and if they're going to have houses on it, that needs to be paved, and it also needs to be paved because otherwise you're tracking debris onto your city streets from a gravel turnabout. Anyway, I've got any number of issues. For instance, in the swell areas, you can see that you've got weeds and trees growing up, and they need to remove that. They need to put an approved sterilant in there. And then maybe they need to recontour the swales in order to assure their drainage capacity. One of the things that I'm requesting from the county as part of this is that they put in a street light at the intersection of Wheeler and this cross street, and then put another street light in on Apache Tiers and the intersection. So you'd have two street lights, and I think as time goes on, we'd want to probably enhance that standard.
That's a Wheeler Road and, would you say, Apache? What'd you say?
Well, the cross street here, let's see what the name of the cross street is.
Cabin Lake Lane. Wheeler Road and Cabin Lake Lane.
Okay. Yes. Because right now we don't have any street lights in our community to speak of. They haven't been a requirement in the subdivisions. As you know, you look at the Huntington Meadows subdivision or Crescent Creek, they don't have any street lights in them. And the Public Works Committee and the council adopted the Public Works Committee's recommendation that we employ 20 street lights over the next 3 years and that we put 8 of them in this year. So the public at large is going to pay for street lights out of the general fund, but that's just silly. And you can ask the developer as part of their development to put street lights in for connectivity purposes and for purposes of safety. It just needs to be done. So nothing ventured, nothing gained. I'm asking for that. And then also, you'll notice there's a note here on lot 12 that says relocate existing water and sewer services, remove existing roadway. There is a road stub that runs through there, and that road stub is important because there's sewer and water in there that we plan to extend over here eastward. And we also want to have street connectivity to and through. One of the liabilities in our community, as you know, as you go down a street for a couple blocks and it ends because there's not been any grid system established for transportation purposes. And you know, if we're going to be a community, we're going to have connectivity. So we're working on, as part of our transportation system plan, we're going to have connectivity. And I'm saying, you know, instead of taking that street stop out, and I'm not sure why they want to do that, because it's in, that it remain in, because it's important for sewer water extension and for street connectivity. So anyway, those are some of the comments that I've offered them. I'd have you read this at your convenience. But what it does is it begs just how low the bar has been set in our community, and we want to raise the bar.
I'm assuming that the county has contacted you for your...
They asked for comments.
For the comments.
Yes.
Now, after they receive the comments, are they going to, as they have in the past, just either approve it or disapprove it? Or are they going to ask us for our opinion? Or is contractor going to come and explain what he's doing? Or are they just going to do the whole thing?
Again, all of this has to be determined. Here's my scenario, and it may not hold up, but you know, we have started a dialogue between the city and the county. I think it improves monthly, in which they ask me for my opinions, and I find more frequently my opinions are a feature of their decision. Which shows some respect for our community. I think that's what it shows. And so we will just have to see.
This will be a good test case.
Yes, this is the first subdivision I've commented on here. And again, kind of like talking about the camcorder as a baseline. These comments serve as our initial baseline for what needs to be. So next time, one comes in the door, I've got this, and we can build on it. We can all build on it. We'll see what kind of experiences we get out of comments. And if we don't get what we want, and we're just going to have to ratchet up whatever until we do.
Okay, now, one last question, and then I know that Norman has a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whose responsibility is it for this weedy-looking, trashy mess alongside the road? Who's responsible for taking care of this? The property owner? The county? The city? Who? Because this, you know, I've driven through all these Huntington Meadows and where this is going to go. Yeah, that whole thing over there is just a big mess.
Were the roads turned over to the county yet? You know?
I think the city. I think those roads were turned over to the city.
City?
Yeah. Here's my view early on, and it probably will change. Everything from the property side of the sidewalk, outward, everything from the sidewalk outward is public right-of-way. The sidewalk is public right-of-way. The swale areas are public right-of-way. The street itself is public right-of-way. Normally, a jurisdiction, and I'm going to have to look at the codes, but I suspect that the property owners will be responsible for the care and maintenance of the sidewalks, right? And particularly with regards to things like snow removal. And the city itself will be responsible for the swale areas. And I think if you go in and you maintain them, then that's not a big issue. I think the big issues that we're going to have, because I've already seen it, and they're both code enforcement issues, is one is people don't understand what a swale is. They don't understand that that's a natural drainage thing and it helps flooding, and it's your snow storage area, and it has that curvature for a purpose. And they fill them in. They go and they fill them in with gravel because they think, you know, somebody made a mistake and they need to be filled in. So we're going to need to ensure that these things maintain their contours, and where people fill them in, we're going to need to unfill them. And then the second thing is that I notice that people feel that it's very comfortable either parking in these drain swales and or parking on the sidewalk or having these what I call trucks on steroids, where they park it in the driveway, but the ass end is out into the sidewalk. And all that is code enforcement issue that will, you know, we'll just slowly, certainly work on. Part of it is to establish good dialogues with the neighborhood so that you sustain neighborhood organizations and that they have sufficient covenances so that at first blush, they can attend to these matters and that the city comes in and piggybacks off of those, so it's a team effort. Okay. And Huntington, I'm working with the folks over in Huntington Meadows right now to help them construct some, if they so choose, some stronger covenances. Because the ones they've got now are just pretty weak and blind.
Pretty simple, but there's a poor design to start out with, and it's amazing that Deschutes County passed that.
Well, again, you know, we can throw a lot of rocks because, as you know, I feel exactly the same way. I go, who would approve this? You know, and there's some sense of indignation and some sense of outrage, but it is what it is, and the point is, from this point forward, we're just not going to take it anymore.
There you go.
Norman, do you have a few questions to ask?
That answered my questions.
Got it? Okay. Any other comments or questions? No? Okay.
Is there an opportunity for public comment?
Sure. We're easy. Sure.
Fantastic.
Just state your name and address, if you would, please.
I'm Tim Weissup with Sun Country Engineering. Okay. I'm the engineer on the project on behalf of the applicant. I came down when I heard about it to answer any questions you might have, respond to some of these issues if you choose. I'd be certainly happy to explain any questions that may have been brought up or anything you want to know about the discussion we've already had.
One of the things that we get real confused over and is that the county is doing all of the planning. Because we don't have a department yet.
Right.
And I'm sure Mr. Hassan will be able to find it in next year's budget to get it in there somewhere. We get these things, and a lot of times I get them on the email, and they're already passed, and nobody said nothing to anybody.
And well understood.
We'd like, if somebody wants to pay, want to build a 50-unit subdivision, we're all for it.
Right.
For any improvements to the city, any building, any commerce that we can do, but we'd also like the opportunity to talk to you or talk to the builder and say, well, just what kind of house you going to build? What are they going to look like? Are we going to have another slum division, or are we going to have a real nice place to look at?
Absolutely.
That's my real big question.
Yeah, a question on behalf of the applicant is. They weren't noticed that we were on the planning commission even. I heard this through the grapevine and professional and personal contacts and thought, oh boy, I better go down there and see if I can answer any questions for them. So I think just being a new city, having Deschutes County, that relationship is new. The protocols, the steps, the order of land development, again, we're both not communicating well, all three of us. The developers are going to come in, and the first thing we do is make application and talk to the county because they're the jurisdiction. Of course, this project also, as you noted, has been around for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And fortunately or unfortunately, I've been involved from day one. So
you're on the original engineering from the original?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep. So that's what I thought I might be able to answer some of those questions if you want to address any of those specifically about the comments. We've all taken in the comments. I've talked to the applicant about them. We're addressing those. There's no pushback or desire to go against the grain on any of those. Right now I have a meeting scheduled with Cynthia, and I think after the comment we've seen, we'll probably pull that extra lot out of there, which actually took the connection to the east away. Cascade Court subdivision, I believe, was also approved about the same time this one was. So that was our connection to that subdivision over there. It has also since expired. It has not been resurrected, and that's basically what we're doing with ours because, well, it's already basically built, so we need to bring it back up to snuff and go ahead and finish off the subdivision plat. So the county wanted to include a new cul-de-sac there because their code reads specifically, any stub street shall be terminated in a cul-de-sac. Well, in this particular case, if you look at your map, cul-de-sac's 90 feet in diameter. I have less than 90 feet to work with there, so you'd have some sort of odd blurb of pavement there, and actually it was a recommendation or a hint from the county that says, well, if you take that road out of there, you can get another lot in and you don't have to build a cul-de-sac. And of course my client says, that sounds good to me, so that's the way we applied. Now that we've taken in the comment, I have a meeting scheduled with Cynthia to go through them all, and we'll address your issues and see what we can't do to be flexible and get this thing finished up in the right way.
Well, you know what? When I saw this, I was not only happy to see it, but I was also surprised. You're going to put in 15 new homes, and we have, I don't know how many foreclosures, empty houses we have. You know something that we don't?
I know I'm an engineer.
Where's the market for these houses coming from?
Actually, the foreclosures, we have very few foreclosures.
I got three on my street alone.
Well, you may have them on your street, but the talk of the real estate down here, we're just about hit. There are several people now bidding on local houses.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah, I just want, because you're a standard bearer for our message, and it's not, we have a lot of foreclosures. We may have some, but the market is starting to rebound.
And you do see a market need, or you wouldn't build them, right?
Again, I am a civil engineer that has been employed by the applicant. I can tell you, as being in this business, that the last 6 months, every client that has walked into my office says, I need lots. And that's more specific to Bend because that's where our office is, but it's also reset point in some of the other communities. I'm also the part-time assistant city engineer in the city of Prineville. We're seeing a little action over there in the same type of need.
For the future, they don't wait until...
Well, it's their business, and just like your business and my business, there has to be a certain amount of profit to make it worthwhile and so that you can buy groceries. So there's obviously something going on, and the short story of this property is that with the economic downturn and an unfortunate death on the project team, the thing did fall apart. It's been in foreclosure. It was leaned. There were construction liens, engineering liens, surveying liens, and all sorts of other judicial matters working through the system for the past 4 years. Right now, this one property in the plat is owned by two parties, half of it by Home Federal Bank and the other half by the applicant. The reason they're together is because the county determined that all of these properties that are on the big map referred to are one legal lot of record. That's a problem with land use issues, so that's why we had to include everything in this particular application. This will split it out. Now we have the subdivision, which is only that portion that's the infrastructure has mostly been completed. We'll finish that up, and that will be basically one lot or the lots and the streets therein. The other larger parcels will be the remainder of the applicant's property, and the other two over on Midsway, the 2.5 acres on Midsway, and the 40-acre chunk is Home Federal Bank, and they will both be now separate legal lots of record. Therefore, they could be sold and developed, what have you, in the future. Otherwise, it's one legal lot of record. All the applicants have to come to the plate and divide it legally.
Sounds all real complicated to me. Really,
this has been quite a ride.
You are going to address with your client Steve's concerns that he's put in writing?
Absolutely, and we've already chatted with that.
Where in the permit process are you now?
Cynthia has gathered all the comments. I believe the comment period is over. So we have those from the County Transportation Division, the Honorable Mr. Cole, but County Engineer. Got comment from the city. We did have a comment from the neighbors about the cul-de-sac to the north. Unfortunately, not a lot we could do about that. But again, from our perspective and the client's perspective, we'll certainly bring everything back up code. I have a difficult time, and of course the applicant will have an extremely difficult time going much over and above what's currently required of him. Just as in your code enforcement discussion earlier, the playing field, the rules have to be established and they have to be also enforced on a level basis. So to go too much above and beyond that is certainly, I just will do what the applicant asked me, and we'll bend and flex the best we can. But it is awful hard as the developer's engineer to tell him he has to do things that we can't make him do. We certainly have a willing participant here, and certainly not anybody that's just going to say, I don't want to do anything, because he knew full well when he engaged my services pretty much what was wrong. And most of the comment we got was aligned the comment that I've already included, you know, in correspondence and talking to the client, so.
Briefly, you said you have comments from the city. What city? Our city?
Yes.
Wow.
I have those in writing.
Wow.
And I received those from our fair planner.
You should have them in your packet. They're from me.
Oh, okay.
Those
from
are the comments
the
that Steve gave Cynthia.
You're
yeah.
talking about
no, but
these
I'm a
comments.
Professional.
Well, that's, I was
that
thinking
would...
city council.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That squares
no,
that away a little
they're
bit.
They're from me.
Okay.
All right.
We have to keep in mind that this is the city right over here.
That is the city.
The guy,
right?
The guy with the faded purple sweatshirt.
Just a couple comments on your tentative plan here. It's dated 11/5/12. So it seems to me that Sun County Engineering ought to be aware that there is no Lapine Water District or Lapine Special Sewer District anymore. Those things have been divested since July, and that in fact sewer and water is provided by the city. And then the other thing, and it's a little thing, but it's a big thing, Lapine is spelled as one word, when in fact Lapine is two words. And it'd just be nice to see Lapine.
And I can certainly understand that.
Okay.
And I'm sure that that being a resurrection of a 2005 job, those may have carried over.
And very well. Okay.
Because it used to be either way. I always begged for clarification back in the day.
Okay.
So
right.
Now we all know it's one word. We'll fix that for you on
two
the final plat.
Two.
Tim, is the builder the same as the one who built Wheeler Park there in 2005?
No, separate entities. And again, this is a subdivision, so there is no builder. So I can't tell you what kind of houses or what color they'll be or how many.
So your client is just working on the plat and you're going to sell the lots. He's not going to build.
Correct.
So they'll go out to builders to buy the lots.
Yeah, either individually or as a whole. It's separate steps. A lot of times you'll find a home builder will be the developer. There's occasions where you run into that. But mostly you'll have the developer, and you may even have even more entities. You may have a landowner, a developer, and then a builder. And that builder might be individual on each lot, or they may have five builders.
The developer just is selling lots.
Correct.
I see.
Correct.
I'm familiar with the roads.
The reason I asked
the road
I crawled
you
up
need to
underneath
put that back.
One of these houses on Wheeler.
No, I stole it, I guess.
I guess, does your developer have any control? If he's just selling the lots, then you won't have any control at all on the actual development on each lot.
That is one route to go. A lot of developers and typically most of my clients will record CC&Rs so that, of course, as a builder, I don't want to buy a lot in a subdivision that has undesirable houses that don't fit with mine. Might be better than mine, might be worse than mine, depending on who's looking at them.
Were there CC&Rs that went along with the original track?
We never got that far.
Yeah, I'm a small builder. I recently had an occasion to crawl up underneath one of these Wheeler Park houses to do a bid on some fix-it work that I found was very strange on a fairly newer home. Already needed a lot of repairs. And I'm very concerned about this development being, I mean, it has the same name as we, in my mind,
I know.
I was underneath a Wheeler home, and now Wheeler addition. So, but.
I might suggest a name change on the final plat. Again, this is the name that was on it in 2006. I haven't. I did ask if there should be a new name, but this was, they said go with it. And again, there's nothing official about that name at this point. It is a tentative plat. I have certainly seen over the years not only a change on the final plat itself that does create the lots and dedicates the right-of-way because it's not dedicated yet, name changes on the plat, and I've even seen the sign in front of the development have a different name than the plat has on it. So
you might consider Wheeler Park 2 or 3. I was also in real estate for 18 years. I own a fine realty. There is a distinction between different subdivisions. It allows evolution to run its course, and as Bend has many, many subdivisions, they wouldn't put the same name and or reputation on a new subdivision, especially 8 years later now. Wow. 8 years later.
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it?
The homes in the original Wheeler are 8 years old.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that I would want to associate myself with that.
I'll bring that up again with the client before we get...
We understand your, you know, your client building to the current specs, you know, and not a need not to go over, so to speak. But this is where I have a problem with Deschutes County, with some of their leadership in overseeing some of these projects. And that's, Steve, I want to, you know, make a point of that.
Well, and again, we're hearing it loud and clear also the Public Works Committee, and that is that, again, if you don't intercede and say, you know, we just don't find that standard acceptable, and the county is a creature of comfort, you know, they're way over there and nobody over here is necessarily complaining, then you can see the outcomes, and they're not good, and they're consistent. I mean, even in our parking lot out here, it's busting up. You go over to Crescent Creek, everything's busting up. That standard, that piece of concrete or that asphalt there is 1/7-8 inch thick, and it's all about 1/7-8 inch thick, and it's just not sufficient. And you know, but if that's the standard, that's the standard. It's just not a standard that's helpful to our locale. It might work real well someplace else.
That's great.
But it doesn't hold up here. As evidenced by the whole subdivision, it's cracking any number of different ways, a lot of thermal cracks, just a lot of cracks in general, and yet there's nobody driving on those streets because there's just no traffic. It's remote, and so it's busting up just of its own volition without any loading to help cause the raveling, because normally raveling is a function of loading. You know, you push down, it transmits that energy across the face of the plane, and unless you have a barrier, it starts to ravel. But it's doing it all.
You know, you don't see the spalding, Steve, on roads with curbs. Is there a way to deepen the edges of asphalt like they do in a monolithic pour, say, of a concrete? If the edges were deepened, I wouldn't see that probably happening on these edges, and then curbs also tend to contain the asphalt. You notice there's no curbing, and then I've been blessed with a really good right eye, and one of these has an angle that shows the edge of the asphalt and leaves a lot to be desired on the edging. So I mean that's clearly the case right there. There's no deepening on the edges, and there's no curb, so that. I don't know, Steve, 4 inches would even...
Well, never take when I was with Ada County Highway District, and I was their transportation planner and special programs manager, and what we did, because we had the asphalt, and then we had the swale, and then we had the detached sidewalks, is we required a 1 foot wide concrete ribbon that was about 8 inches deep, that butted the edge of the pavement.
Right.
So when that energy came across,
exactly,
it would hit that concrete and that concrete would sort of be an absorber, it would be like a shock absorber.
Yep.
And it would translate, and there was the coefficient was such between the two that when it came across, it would transmit out, and it would lessen the prospects of the raveling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important to a city, is to ensure the integrity of the road system, because I got to tell you, you want a city to go broke in a hurry, don't have good sufficient transportation standards where you have durable roads that are going to last a long time.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to incur, you know, too heavy of a burden of cost on a developer to where they just said forget it. I mean, it's not too much, but there could be, I mean, the subdivision is small enough, I mean, that it might not be too expensive to do some sort of edging on this thing. You know, that something simple like that could possibly set this subdivision at a little higher level than some of the ones that we've had in the past, because we've heard a lot of complaints. One of our planning officers, Tim, lives in Huntington Meadows. He's not here today, Justin, but Tim. He lives in Huntington Meadows. One of his reasons for getting on Lapine City Planning Commission is to do something to improve Huntington Meadows, where he lives. I mean, he just wants a 6-block area improved.
Yeah.
And you know, that subdivision's only, what is it? It's only 15 years. Or
not even that much.
12, I don't know. 10, 12.
Yeah.
And already is you know, an eyesore. It.
Well, right now you're depending on county specs, and they've taken that perspective of county roads. They've used the 2-on-6 forever. Most jurisdictions around here have been using 2-on-6 forever. I think they bolstered it to 8 not too awful long ago in context of time. But, you know, that's where, you know, you guys have the water and sewer specifications that were prepared. So as an engineer, I have guidelines on what you require. Ask 4 engineers the same question, you get 4 different answers. Each one will work, just to a different standard in a different way, quite possibly. So that's why a city comes up with standard and specs. So, mm-hmm. You know, when you guys work on your street standard specs, you already have water and sewer pretty well covered from my experience in dealing with your city engineer and when I'm working in town here over the years. But yeah, you'll have to find some road specs if you don't want to just depend on the county. And the first thing I do is open your book. And that's where I start before I even turn it into the body that is going to review it, whether that ends up being you or the county. And we follow your rules.
We want to thank you very much for your very candid comments. You've answered a lot of questions that we had. So we thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate it.
Okay.
Next time, not only may we give you a notice, but you can give us a notice,
yes,
too, somehow in that protocol, so that I can maybe have the applicant here.
Okay,
that a little short notice for him to show up.
Yep.
Thanks.
Okay, Deborah, we want to apologize for holding you up. We know you had to drive that icy road. But
no biggie. You're okay. Fine.
Excuse me.
Yes.
See you next month.
I show up and Norm leaves. I'm going to have a complex.
Patty, let the record reflect that Norm has a 7 o'clock appointment. He has to leave early.
What I wanted to do is briefly go over your role and responsibilities now that the Land Commission and Development Board has approved you. And the most important thing is to know that you have a 2-map system. And so you've got a zoning map and then a longer-term comprehensive plan map. Once the TSP for the transportation system is approved, you will be able to consolidate into 1 map. So for now, your jurisdiction is within the urban growth boundary that was approved, which is also your city limits. By law, the Planning Commission is the official citizen involvement body. And in Oregon, Planning Commissions are required to follow certain things and do certain things because of that. So your meetings, your packets, all of the ordinances and codes need to be on the web and you need to have a guidebook for everything that you're responsible for. And what I wanted to ask tonight is, do you prefer that in paper, in a booklet? Do you want it on CD and bring a computer if that's what you want? But we have to make sure that you have the guidebook for everything that you're responsible for, from subdivision ordinance, zoning ordinance, lighting ordinance. There's a few other ordinances that go in there with that. So I need to know so we can get you prepped. And if somebody asks, what does the Planning Commission do? You're going to know that you're responsible for everything inside the UGB. The city's negotiating with the county and talking about different choices on how the planning program will be managed. But in all of the ordinances that the council has adopted, there's a proviso on the very last page that when those ordinances are effective, the council will make a motion, and then 30 days later, those codes are effective. So everything's been approved. It's just waiting for the council to say, go forward, pull the trigger. And you have also, I've provided the city from the county a CD of the floodplain. It should be on the website, and it'll allow anybody to look at where that floodplain is and how it affects their property. And one of the things that you talked about tonight is really related to policies and values. A lot of things we talked about during the comprehensive plan. For example, who maintains the public sidewalk and the park strip in front of somebody's home? That is typically a policy that is approved by the city in its code of ordinances. It's not necessarily in the land use ordinances, but it's in the basic operation of the city. So those kinds of things probably need to be recommended to the city council for insertion into a big code book, so that every property owner knows that in front of their property, this section must be cleared and maintained, weed-free, and to a certain standard. And that's really important, because otherwise citizens won't know. And so right now, what I think I'm hearing is that, well, you're going to have to give me some feedback on, do you want paper or is the CD adequate?
I'm visual. I want to see.
Let's do paper.
In front of me.
Paper book? Okay.
Yeah, I have.
Me too.
Yeah. I have copies of all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, is this book something you put together?
Well, Patty will have to help me, and I'll get her all the originals. And so what you'll have is a binder with all of your approved codes in it.
Okay, how does that differ from all of this?
Those are probably old and not up to date. So I want to make sure you have the most recent ones.
Well, they're only 4 years old.
Well, the ones the council did are a little newer than that. So we'll want to make sure you have all the correct codes.
Good.
And then I think one of the things that this Planning Commission, as a recommendation for me, should move forward with are some of those guiding policies. Rules and regulations can be black and white, but I think some of the guiding policies about how you want the community to look would be helpful to put in place and to review in your comprehensive plan. And that's about all I had. I just want to make sure you understand your role as the citizen involvement group per Oregon law, and that through the Planning Commission, you have a guidebook that gives you all the tools for managing land use in the city. Whenever the City Council wants you to do that, or when you have to respond to comments for another process, you'll have everything in front of you.
Good idea.
Okay?
Yeah.
And if you have questions, give me a call. You'll need copies of those maps. Patty has those on computer. And if she doesn't have anything, I'll be happy to send it.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any comments? John? Jenny?
No.
Mr. Hassan, any comments?
No, but thanks for it.
Sure. Okay. Just real quick, I'd like to just mention goals for 2013. If each of us could, on our next meeting, come up with, in on paper, some kind of goals that we'd like to see for the year, the next year, 2013 through 2014, and email a copy to Mr. Hassan so that he knows what we're thinking about.
Then could I ask a question? When do you think those guidelines will be available to us?
You mean the packet?
Yeah. The guidebook.
The guidebook. I would think that, depending on Patty's schedule, probably take a week. Does that sound reasonable then?
Yeah. They'll be available for our next meeting, huh?
Yeah.
Which means they'll also be available to help us assimilate some goals.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And one of the most important things is that being a citizen involvement body, you have to be able to have a lot of transparency. So there'll need to be some work on the web to make sure that everything is on there too. So your website has to contain your packets, your meeting dates, which it does right now, and all of the codes. It should be an easy to locate area so citizens can find that as quick as you can.
Who is responsible for this website, Steve?
Well, right now, the city is responsible for the website. And we have Lil D and the city staff kind of combined are the webmaster.
All right.
So we're probably going to put out, one of the things we put in this year's budget was money for update of the website. So we'll probably solicit for a web update, because I think anyone looking at our website would say it's pretty lame.
Yep,
and,
I would.
And one of the things we want to do is not only do I want, when you drive through our community, to get excited, but when you go on our website, I want you to likewise get excited. Mm-hmm. I was pointing out, I was community development director up in McCall, Idaho, little community, about 3,000 people, 100 miles out in the middle of nowhere. They have the most fantastic website. I just have you go in there and take a look at it, and you just get excited about the place. You know, it goes, wow. And I want something similar to that here, so that it grabs you.
So what you're saying is that it is the office that will be putting all
yes.
of this up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Unless we want to, put you in charge of it.
And I don't know do computers.
Well, we will
nope,
give you.
And I don't learn.
No, he's been. They have been for a couple of years.
All right.
Done. Sorry.
Oh, come on.
What's the problem?
No.
To
got rid of my last
locator
when it blew up.
That ought to be a problem finding.
Well, there are some of us here that are not allowed to use a computer at home.
What?
So we need a little help.
Is there
I can't even go in the room where the computer
is. Why are they concerned about a website?
That's our story.
But no, they're all our, as soon as we developed the codes and ordinances, they went on the website. You just go planning commission, or no, you don't even go planning commission because people.
That's okay. I'm the only one who asked.
It's on the website. Maybe we need to address.
I was just wondering who is putting the meeting minutes up, who is doing the maintenance that Deborah was just talking about,
right.
Not asking who was going to build it from scratch. Who's maintaining it was all I was asking. And I got my answer.
Okay, good.
And a good one.
Okay, leave us move on.
Yep.
Number 12.
We need to know, especially me, what our term limits are, our limits on this committee are.
I know, well, John.
My term is up in about 2 weeks.
Yes.
Well, and the world ends on
the
21st, so.
Right.
Well, up until when? I don't care what those Mayans say. I ain't going nowhere, okay? They can end it over there.
Yes.
I see, okay.
So, do you have that information?
Who's serving for what length
yeah.
of time?
Yeah.
We certainly can find that out.
Yeah.
Could you email that to everybody
sure.
so we all know?
Surely.
Would
I
you?
Can. Yes.
And then, Patty, will you keep in mind that along about first year, we're going to have to advertise for John C.?
Okay.
Other matters?
Oh.
Jeannie, I know you had one.
I did. I'd like to discuss the meeting time and guest notifications, but we don't have enough, I believe, counselors.
Well, we're okay. 3 out of 5 is okay. And I've already asked Norman his opinion.
Oh.
And
he knows my opinion. We always had 6. I don't know why we went to 5:30.
All right.
I think going back to 6 o'clock is the best thing to do.
I think it is, too. And if
that'll
we
be my last
do have...
That's it.
Then, no, one more question, then. If we, on this, if we do have guests, or I can't think of the word, it's...
Public involvement.
Thank you. Well, from over the hump. If we are expecting Deborah or Jeremy or anyone else from over in Bend, allow them to be on the agenda early.
Yes, I'll go. That's
in these winter months, in the summer months, we can delay them till the end. But
yes, and then I have one other matter. And
6 o'clock it is then.
Six o'clock. Yes. No, we don't need to vote. A consensus is a good enough.
Okay.
You change that to 6 o'clock, Betty, please. All of us want to thank Mr. Thomas here for his 4 hard years of dedicated work.
3.5,
whatever it was. You did a good job. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
All in favor?
I second that motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, aye, and aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Get the little thing.
Thank you for carrying the torch ahead.
We'll be looking for you again.
Look me up in 1 year.
We will. Don't think we won't, because we will. You guys drive safe going home, will you?
If you have some code violation, I could probably get the judge to have you back on here to do community service.
Yes.
Good. I'd rather do that than completely revamp my
code officer.
My 1966 building. I asked John Briley, I said,
same here.
Are all the other 1966 buildings in Lapine having to redo their whole electrical system?
You realize that's brand new in my book.
And he couldn't answer.
I was a junior in high school in 66.
1966? I can't even remember that for us.
But you know, I have been working with him. I completely
knew. I know, you were just a babe.
I was,
Here's what I got him to do. I said, well, John, we can't afford to do the whole building. It's 2,000 square feet. I said, so allow me to do one unit at a time. Right off. And they agreed to do that.
Well, they're trying, but they haven't got me yet.
They're not going to.
So I did A,
most.
A couple years ago. I did D. And I only have C remaining.
Oh, there's always going to be a grouse or.
Really?
That's right.
But you wouldn't be helping
them. Oh, well, you got to get. Life's going to be interesting. I've got to have a reason to get out of bed.
It's all up to get out of bed. Today's standards.
It's kind of like this place is like so
coming right now.
So you've got to get up to see what is going to what the actors are going to do the next day, and then. And you're going, okay, what's going
to happen?
And it makes it real. Well, is that happening over there too?
Yeah.
It's funny how that happens over here too.
Just do this. I ask them, just do this.
And they make sure, because then I can't foresee what they're going to do.
Exactly.
I love you.
Check other
and you love the channel.
Well, I do.
Because here's what happens. Once you get on,
I'm part of it.
Once you get on,
I feel this is a good dress. I mean, all I had to do was work out the death of the war. And I have a world any place in that world. Just think if you woke up in the morning and you lived in
another year or so,
this scene too.